Good evening.
Oh,
I want to speak a little bit about thinking tonight. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Father, we pray and thank you for this ministry worldwide here in Baltimore as a foundational base of operation. We thank you for the church, the ministry here. Bless this church in an amazing way. New souls, new Bible college students. New vision, new purpose, and glorifying God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the big problems that I've had in my life, and I think every believer who's honest would be, at times we just do not think correctly. Our thinking is just a little bit haywire and messed up. On this last trip, I can tell you about some really ridiculous thinking that I did. Really, really ridiculous, you know. Like, in a country called Burkina Faso, preaching 7 hours in 120-degree weather, stupidity. But we still think we're 40 years old sometimes, you know, and we're just not thinking correctly. And then getting in a vehicle and driving 5 hours to Bolgatanga, North Ghana, then 13 hours to the coast, then an 8-hour airplane ride, a 10-hour wait in London, and a 9-hour ride, and then home by car. And then you wonder why, like, things don't go the way they're supposed to with your body. It's kind of unusual. But that can be called ridiculous thinking, you know, like not thinking correctly. One of the things that happened when I was in got a little bit strange physically in Ouagadougou. Pastor Scheller likes that name, Ouagadougou. It's an unusual place. And I was lying in a bed, like waiting for a French doctor who could speak not one word of English, which didn't really leave me a lot of hope that anything was going to happen, and thinking to myself, will I ever get home? You know, like I'm so far away. Like, will I ever get back? And then changing my thinking pattern. And the verse that came to me was Isaiah 26, verse 3. I will keep him in perfect peace. And that word, that perfect peace, is shalom, shalom. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed in the Hebrew, yetzir, means that my mind is settled with God's mind. That God's mind is my mind, and my mind is God's mind. I was, you know, and you think about what God himself has made available to us, his thinking. His mind, Isaiah 26, 3, the mind of the Father. Philippians 2, 5, the mind of the Son. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then the mind of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. And what it means to think with God. Because God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 through 10, my thoughts are not your thoughts, therefore, my ways are not your ways. Whenever we have situations in our own lives, or maybe we see people going in some ways that are quite unusual, well, rather than trying to always correct the ways, what we need to do is bring in God's thinking. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, bring in the thinking with God. We can, and there's many programs and many people and many psychological people out there and psychiatric people that are always trying to deal with behavior and ways. And really, that's going to go nowhere. That goes nowhere fast. I'm not saying that there aren't times that has to take place when it comes to certain things. But it's the thinking that must change. It's giving people a new way of thinking, being renewed in the spirit of the mind, Ephesians 4:23. So how I think is so vitally important. And so I'm thinking with God in higher thoughts, then I'm going to have higher ways. And this is key to my life, to be able to think with God. So then I'm in a situation in my marriage or my family or raising children. Am I thinking with God? Or am I thinking with... And by the way, the other kind of thinking that's out there is totally evil. Maybe we don't address it that way, but the old sin nature's mind in Mark 7:21 is an evil mind. The mind of the world in Galatians 1:4 is an evil mind. The mind of the devil, 2 Timothy 2:26, I don't think I have to tell you, the mind of the devil is what? It's evil. So every mind that's out there, outside of the mind of Christ, is going to not bring peace, nor hope, nor God's ways in my life. Are you with me? Thinking with God. Thinking with God. You know, when we had a convention this year, and we had a number of conventions, about four or five of them, we had 3,400 people attend. And it was phenomenal. But what we're doing there as a ministry, together, is we are training, teaching, being an example of how God thinks. So people can think with God. There, you know, some people think a blessing is how many children you have, how much money you have, and how physically well you're doing. But we know that a blessing is God speaking well of us. Thinking with God. When I'm thinking with God, that's a blessing. My mind and God's mind are one and the same. I'm receiving thoughts from God. And any other thoughts, this is how I have to deal with them. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I bring every thought into the captivity of God's thinking. So my wife gives me a rough time. Well, I think with God, and I love her unconditionally. I'm at work, and I'm around unsaved people, and their attitudes and their ways of thinking and what they're doing is outrageously evil, but I'm going to think with God and not be affected by that thinking that's all around me. We have an atmosphere of unbelievable thinking that is contrary to God Himself. These alternative marriage lifestyles, that's evil thinking. Smoking marijuana, taking drugs, drinking alcohol is evil thinking. I didn't get an amen on that. Come on, give me an amen. Huh? Not trusting God for my finances. Can we trust God for our finances? That's thinking with God. God loves me. He's going to take care of me. The Father's thinking is thinking in a provision with a protection. The Son's thinking is thinking with the person of Christ and the work of the cross. And the Spirit's thinking is thinking that God is going to fill me and lead me and guide me. That's thinking with God. And every time I go outside of that thinking with God, I find myself in a little bit of trouble. Because I have given place. The Bible says, how do I give place to the devil? It's really simple. Ephesians 4:27, give no atopos to the devil. How do I give place to the devil? Simply by doing this. My word has no place in you. John 8:31. And if his word doesn't have a place in me, then there's going to be space for the entrance of other types of what? Thinking. No touch love is thinking with God. Well, you're old-fashioned. No, we're Bible-fashioned. Don't give me that old-fashioned garbage. And I know you can find some gems out of the garbage, okay? I miss them. Thinking with God. This is the key. I remember when I had a stroke in the year 2000, and Pastor Stevens would call me up twice a day. And what was he doing? I didn't even have a mind to think. And he kept saying Bible verses to me over the telephone in the hospital in Accra, Ghana. And he would quote verses and give me verses and say, think with God. And that's how I got healed. God's mind. By the way, God's mind does the healing. I told the doctor that today. I said, by the way, you know the mind of God does it. And I'll only listen to you if the Holy Spirit tells me to listen to you. Otherwise, I'm not listening to you. Don't take it personal. Although I do like him. He's a nice doctor and he is a Christian. But you know what? I'm going to think with God. Are you listening to me? Last night we were on outreach in Federal Hill. Is that what it's called? Federal Hill, you know. There's a lot of people out there that aren't thinking with God. And we found a few that were thinking with God. And we had some good conversations with people. And I could approach somebody and they could be totally like negative. No, don't want that. Well, you know what? That's not going to affect me because I'm going to think with God. He never rejects me. So you can reject me all day long. It makes no difference to me because I'm thinking with God. Are you listening? I'm thinking with God. Rejection's part of the game. 9 out of 10 people you talk to, they probably would say, I'm not interested, you know. Whatever. But if I'm thinking with God, He loves me, amen? He'll never leave me, amen? He'll never forsake me. And so I got to start thinking like a 70-year-old. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. I'm confused right now. No, I mean, when it comes to certain things, you have to, you know, use some intelligence, like drinking water. My wife says, how do you, like, go, like, for 30 days over there, 25 days over there, and you don't drink water? I said, I hate water. But I need to be corrected, and it's slowly happening. Yay, she said, yay, God. There it is. Wow. Thinking with God. Thinking with God. Doesn't anybody condemn you? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. The Pharisees weren't thinking with God. The woman that was anointing the body of Christ, Jesus said, let her alone. I love this. This is Kathy Ryan's favorite verse. Let her alone. She's done what she could. She'll be a memorial. They're like condemning her. They're indignant. They're murmuring about her. They're attacking her and accusing her. And here comes God's thinking. Let her alone. She's done what she could. Wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will be a memorial. She was thinking with God. Amen? Thinking with God. The woman with the issue of blood just needed to think with God. And all these things that we see taking place. So in my life, this is so key. I need to think with God. Think with God about my own life. You know, some Christians do such a job on themselves, the devil can take a vacation. Because they beat themselves up so much that Satan doesn't even have to hang around. He triggers something unconsciously in them, and it's a pattern there, and they just beat themselves up all the time. Evaluation. Have you ever evaluated yourself? Well, knock it off. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4, I can't even judge myself until the Lord comes. I can't judge myself until the Lord comes. God will do that. I'm not going to beat myself up. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm a pretty darn awesome person. And say that to yourself. I'm a pretty darn awesome person. Say it to yourself. Come on. It's not pride. It's humility and grace. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. I'm God's perfect. I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. That's how I've got to think. If I think any other way, I do a lot of damage. I make wrong decisions. Remember Dr. Stevens years ago? He said a thought is meditated upon, becomes a decision, an action takes place, a series of thoughts come, a series of actions happen, a pattern is developed, and now you have an identity, and the identity all comes from one thought. We have a thought, and if we don't capture it, it can become our identity. Oh yeah. A thought of fear, you become a fearful person. Becomes a pattern. A thought of, these thoughts that are coming, they're out there, they're in the atmosphere. And so I want to think with God. Amen tonight. I want to think with God. I want to say, God, touch me. God, heal me. God, use me. God, take me where I'd rather not go, even if it's Ouagadougou. It's okay. It's okay. I want to think with God. Oh, yeah, there's public opinion. There's, we've come to a conclusion that you shouldn't do this anymore. Oh, really? Well, thank you for your conclusion. Well, I'll take my conclusions based upon God's thinking. You know, and if I perish, I perish. Isn't that what Esther said? Whatever. I'm going to the king, and I'm going to make sure that he holds out the golden scepter to me. And if it's over, it's over. I was thinking, all of us have had such an awesome life. Whatever, you know. It's incredible thinking with God. And I said to my wife last Sunday, I'm so glad I felt that bad that I did Sunday night, but I was here. I can't imagine. There's some places I wouldn't want to feel like that and be in. But God did it here. He allowed something to happen here. Amen? Right here. Yay, God. Yay, God. But then we can go beyond. One time, Pastor Eugene, in closing, I've closed three times already, but almost. One time, Pastor Eugene, I can remember this. I was in the hospital, and I was, I think I had typhoid fever, a serious case of typhoid fever. And I had lost a lot of weight and was sweating profusely and whatnot. And they had me on two IVs. They had, like, you know, those IV stands. And the doctor said, "You just lie there, and I don't want any movement. You don't even get up. We'll bring the food to you and everything." Well, I never got a whole lot of food because Pastor Duane was eating his meal and mine every day. When I looked at the bill, at the hospital bill, when I got out of the hospital, I knew what was up. Pastor Duane. And so Sunday morning, about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, I told three men, "Get a car, and we're going to put the IVs in the car. I'm not going to take them out. We're going to put them in the car, and we're going to finagle this, and I'm going to preach the graduation message with the two IVs, with two people holding me." And you know what? I remember it was called the Grace Bringer. The message was from Titus 2, 11 and 12, the Grace Bringer. And you know what? When I got back into the hospital, the doctor came like later at night. She goes, "Wow, you look great." I said, "That's because I'm thinking with God." I didn't tell her what I did, but that wouldn't have been thinking with God. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for thinking. Thank you we can think with you. Thank you that you've given us your mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, that was great. It's too bad you stopped. Did you want to keep going? Huh? We got to stay on that subject. Amen. We have a few minutes left, so before we finish up, why don't you take to heart what Pastor Shabelli shared as the Spirit anointed him to give that message about thinking with God. And can you think of one or two areas in your life where you could say, "I could brush up on that in my life. I could get a little sharper and ask the Lord what his mind is, you know, in this." I mean, can you think of that? I'm trying to myself. Do I think with God in every area? Am I thinking with God in, this is our theme, the coming of Christ. And we sang a great song tonight on Christ coming back, the second coming of Christ. And it relates to where we are today in our country, our election coming up, presidential election, and many of you are saying, "I don't want to hear anything about it." How are you thinking with God about the period of time that we are living in? Are you and I thinking with God in regards to our time, where we are at? Or do I worry? Am I afraid? Am I reactionary? Could I be very deeply discouraged? Maybe in the area of personal finances, maybe some folks are just so discouraged and just think their situation could never change. But I need to think with God in that area and bring it before God and say, "God, I know you have something for me. You will take care of me." Or I'm sick, or I have a friend who is sick. And how do I process that? How do I think with God in regards to life? Isn't that a big challenge? It's amazing. I think being here helps me. I may not have all the answers, but the Spirit of God is here and anoints us so that we can catch a hold of what it means to live by faith and to get our eyes on the important thing. Maybe I cannot fix my finances, but I can look unto Jesus, and my mind that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, right? And maybe the Lord will bring about a great change in my situation. But I will have peace. I will have God's mind. I live in the whole house. I will understand the life that I'm living. So how about it? Do you have something in your heart that was spoken to you, in your heart tonight? Maybe. And it's very personal, I know. And it's not something you're going to tell your neighbor. But turn to your neighbor and tell him. No, second thought, no. Right? You're not going to tell your neighbor, but you're going to say, I liked Pastor Shibeli's message. All right, so would you stand with me right now? And would you see, this is Wednesday morning or Wednesday night standing up. Would you all stand? There are two people standing. Okay, here we are. You're tired, I know. You worked all day. It doesn't matter. Get God. All right, say to your neighbor, that was a good message from Pastor Shibeli. I'm glad he drank water tonight. Okay. Is it good? All right, you may be seated. Turn to Genesis 4. This will be a 15-minute message, maybe. Really doesn't matter. On Wednesday nights, I want to speak about the end times. Last Wednesday was Abel's blood that was speaking from the ground. It went all the way to heaven. God heard Abel's blood speak. When Cain murdered his brother, what did he then do? Anybody know? Look at chapter 4, 16 and 17. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. When Cain knew his wife, she conceived, bare Enoch. Wow. And remember, Enoch walked with God later in his life. A murderer had a son who walked with God. Isn't that great? Because when you are born again, it doesn't matter what your past history is, or your parents, or your genealogy. When you're born again, you have a new life. Enoch, and then he says, Cain builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Well, I'd like to speak about the coming of Christ for a few minutes. And I'd like you to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 2, chapter 2. It's Luke. Is it Luke? Sorry. I know where it is on the page. It's Luke 3, okay? I thought it was Matthew 2. It's not. It's Luke 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod, and on it goes through the government. And so during that time, then we have the order for them to tax in Bethlehem, right? And so we have government. Then you have an order. And so we have a principle here. We talked about it before. We have an event. I'll draw a diagram. Here's an event. And then we have what we call super history. What is really going on? Right? Christ is born in Bethlehem. The Caesar of the Roman Empire had no idea that he had anything to do with the Christ being born in Bethlehem, but he did. He ordered for a taxation through the whole empire, and you were to return to your place of of where you're from. So Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. And there will be a president of the United States sometime, maybe. I don't even know. No one really knows how it will go, even if whatever. But we have history. We have the event, or the event, and then we have the super history. This is what Pastor Schiavelli was saying. Thinking with God means that I get beyond Cain building a city. When you see a city, you can be intimidated. The man built a city, or the man owns that much property, or the man has empires, or the woman is powerful. And we say, yeah, we understand, but there is super history. There's another thread that is going along in our world. There's something else happening here. And when you look at wealth, power, money, you can, or opinions, philosophy, ideas, atheism, arrogance, pride, blasphemy, which in 2 Timothy 3 is in the spirit of our age. And Paul said it. Turn there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Difficult times. To be frank and biblical, we have this. When Jesus died on the cross in history, actually the church age, and we are in 2016, this whole period is last time, last days. The whole period from the time of Christ to now is last days. And Paul prophesied about what would be happening in the last days. And if you say the last days in the first century here, in the first century, it applies, how much more it applies in the 21st century. What kind of days will come? Well, it's described here. Cain built a city. Surely he was a murderer. He was a tough guy. He was the seed of the serpent. But there was another seed there that God was doing, and that was actually his son, Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Enoch knew God. He had the spirit of God, the spirit of grace in Enoch, and the mind in Enoch. And in these times, the times of the Gentiles, it is called, times of the Gentiles. And this is the... when the Gentiles are ruling the world, there are the Chinese and Indonesian and Indian and the Russian and American and so on all around the world. These are the kingdoms of the Gentiles. And what about the Jews? It's a small little country, the size of Maryland. It's a small little, doesn't have great power, great population, great armies. It's subject to persecution, and it's an indicator for where we are in regards to what is really happening here. And when you look by sight at the world, you go, oh, they built a city. And the Lord in heaven is saying, that is nothing. My kingdom is on the earth. My love is on the earth. My power is present. My nature is with you. My peace is in your heart. And in the spirit of our age, there is not an interest in the things we are interested in, but they're interested in, I'm just saying it as a phrase, building a city, gaining power, influence, importance, being accepted, being part of the program. But like Pastor Shabelli is saying so well under the Spirit of God, is that in these days I need to be thinking with God and not having high regard for what it is that I am seeing, because we are about our Father's business. We are anointed of God to be worshipers of Him and have His mind and know what is the important thing. So in chapter 3, look at the list. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. I would love to, I've got some papers on every one of these words, but, and that would be a great study, but we got to get the big chunk of what I want to say here. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They despise good people. Wow. So this society is going to, listen to this principle. When iniquity grows, now you might say, where do I see iniquity? It happens in the heart. And somebody gets into pornography, let's say, just to pick that sin, could be covetousness, something, and iniquity grows, what happens to the love of the person's love? The love gets cold, and they start being nasty with other people. And the root problem is the iniquity that is growing in them. And so there is a breakdown in the society because people are mistreating each other. They are yelling at each other in the shopping market. They are tweeting Facebooking or something that are, or in person, they're angry on the street, or they could kill somebody, and they do. This coldness develops, and I am afraid that we can see that potential is there, that the love of many will get cold because iniquity abounds in this society. You know, secretly under the ground, the way people are living. But we that are born again are not afraid of it. And this is in the end, this is in chapter 3 in verse 8. I don't want to explain it, but that's important. Verse 9, they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. There's a simple principle. Sin is not anybody's friend. Sin will hurt people. So as they live in sin, it hurts them. And you might say, oh, it's a terrible world. It is, but it doesn't go into me because that's not my life. I don't live like that. I think differently. Pastor Shabelli is saying, thinking with God, I am thinking differently, or rather, I am thinking with God, and there is a difference between me and someone else that doesn't have Christ, isn't apprehending Him, isn't paying attention to Him, isn't hearing from Him, isn't availing themselves to Him. And they end up getting in the muck, in the mire. Like when they came out of Egypt, the army of the Pharaoh, the chariot wheels got stuck in the mud. Is it in Exodus 14? They drove them hard into the Red Sea, and they got stuck in the mud. You can look it up. It literally says that. Well, this is where the world is going. But that's fine. Jesus said, don't let it bother you. Let the blind lead the blind. And they both will fall in a ditch. But I don't partake of it. I have chosen something higher, better. We have chosen this life that is in the Spirit, in the way of God, the wisdom of God. So, in this portion, it says, verse 10, but you have fully known my doctrine. Now, I heard about a squabble like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Everybody know about that family feud, the Hatfields and the McCoys in American history? And everybody, more or less, 1860 about it broke out between two hillbilly families in the corner of West Virginia and Kentucky, I think, in different counties. And they were, tough people. Somebody killed a pig. They retaliated. I think it was 60 years of feuding, 100 people dead. Because there wasn't any spiritual mind. Now, no forgiveness, no prayer, no revival, no moving of God, no ministry, but just downright, plain, straight up flesh. Hatred, revenge, retaliation, generation after generation. Isn't that amazing? Well, I am aware of a little bit of that kind of thing that happens amongst people. And if you ever feel like retaliating, forget it. There's something better. Thinking with God. It's amazing. If you forgive, you will be forgiven in your experience. You will have peace. You forgive a lot. You forgive a lot. You forgive people you love. You forgive people that you don't necessarily even know. But you have fully known, Paul said, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Iconium, Antioch, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to get you're targeted. Get a big bullseye on a t-shirt and wear it around. I am a target. It's just a matter of time. It's fine with me. Because to think with God means that I understand that the world I am living in is more than what you see. It's more than what I see. The world that Jesus is coming back, and we want to go into that in the next weeks. It is so exciting. He is coming back. Our life is actually quite short. We will meet him very soon. We are those that have lived by faith. Cain has built a city. Great. Good job. Great. Fine. But Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are waiting for Jesus to return. He said, the Son of Man, you will see him come in the clouds. He is coming. And you know, whatever happens in our country, I understand. You know what will happen in just a word? It'll be a period of time when there will be a one-world government. There'll be a direction in the world where there will be the circumstances will fall out that there will be a one-world government, and in that time the Antichrist rising, then the world will say, actually we need 10 leaders, and no one knows what that means. There'll be 10 leaders or 10 kingdoms. Maybe India is one, China, the superpowers. There will be 10. Then the Antichrist will rise up in the midst of that, and three will be put down, and he will have his authority and then subjugate Israel, and then go after Israel to persecute them and destroy them, wipe them off the earth. And the Lord said, and there will be power given unto the beast to do harm to the children of the Most High, to the saints of the Almighty in Daniel chapter 7. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. It's like we will suffer persecution if we are godly. We will be misunderstood. When you look at Cain's city, you could be intimidated. When you look at life and what is happening in your life, you might get troubled. But the Lord is saying, let me tell you a parable. This is Matthew 13. Let me tell you another parable. And then another parable. There are seven of them in Matthew 13. And every one of them is about this idea. There's something on the surface, and then there's the thing that God is doing that you can't see. There's the kingdom of God. There's something God is doing. There is the field, and then there is the treasure in the field. There is the pearl of great price, and then there is finding and knowing it is the pearl of great price. There is the seed sown, and the tares are sown next to it. And let them grow up together and get used to the idea that we are in a world that does not think with God, but glory be to God, we are learning how to think with God and live with this Spirit of God and teaching us and guiding us so that we are just enjoying the body of Christ, reaching out to people. We went to many places in the world this summer, including Cambodia tonight with Phil and Chad and Pastor Doug, Africa, and we almost say, how could this be? That we, sitting in the pews, that you save money and put it aside and say, I want to go on a faith adventure. I want to go maybe next summer or during the year. The New Zealand group is going out pretty soon. And you put a little money aside or you go to Uricon in the spring. How could this be that we are able to live like this? Well, I think God honors you and me. I think God is saying, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's my Father's good pleasure to have you have peace at night. Go to bed and say hallelujah and have something in your heart, moving in your heart. It's the Father's good pleasure to say, I'll take care of your finances. Trust me. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. I think some people have trouble because they don't give God his heart, their heart. They want God to do everything for them, but then they don't want to give their heart away. They can't trust God. They can't trust God. And no matter how old you get in the faith, it's still a challenge for me to trust God with all my heart and give him my heart again. And it's ridiculous that I wouldn't think it, but it is part of my sin nature not to do it. I will not give God my heart. I have to protect myself and protect my life. You know what I'm saying. But always a revival waiting for you when you give him your heart, in your quietness, and you love him. He said, I'll circumcise your heart so that you will love me with all your mind and soul and strength in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. I will anoint you with fresh oil, Psalm 92. I'll visit you in the nighttime. I love that verse, visit you in the night. I'll take care of you. I will hear you. I will answer you. I'll take care of you. I am your God. You will see me. You will know me. You will realize that I am with you. And then you'll say, what about Abel's blood? When that's going to be dealt with? The Lord said, I'll take care of it. The kingdom is coming. You follow me. Yeah, look at Cain, how successful he is. And he built a city. And the Lord goes, yeah. Do you want to consider his end? In Psalm 73, he's standing on slippery ground. His portion is in this life, not in the life to come, in Psalm 49, and so on. So those are some thoughts tonight. I hope some of them spoke to your heart. Pastor Chevelli's message definitely did. It's a great message, thanking with God for the coming of Christ. When is it? When is it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's soon. I don't care, actually. I don't care. Is it going to be in my lifetime? I don't know. I really don't care. I'm enjoying his mind. The word wait is not a good word for a lot of people. Here it says wait. Wait, watch, and wait here, right? This is what Jesus said. Watch and wait. Wait, what? Wait? I live in America. I'm not waiting for nothing. Wait, watch, and wait. Waiting, what? Waiting. Waiting, watch, and waiting. I'm tired of it. I don't believe it anymore. I'm going on my own way. I'm partying. Jesus told the parable. If you knew the time of my coming, you would be. But when you don't know the time, you go out and get partying. And you say, where is the promise of his coming? Matthew 24 and then 2 Peter chapter 3. But no, not us. We got God's mind. And we say, we're waiting on the edge of our chair. It's going to happen. We've been waiting for centuries. Yeah, we'll wait for a few more. It doesn't matter to me. I'm waiting. I got that mind. I expect it. I anticipate the kingdom coming. And it will be amazing, by the way. When he comes back, we'll not be ashamed. When he comes back, things will put in order. We'll go, whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah, Babylon is fallen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to be so righteousness will reign like the waters cover the sea. It'll be a fantastic thing, the kingdom of God on the earth. We are tasting it tonight. We know about it in our heart. We anticipate it. We talk about it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We'll all not all sleep, but in the twinkling of an eye we'll be changed into his image with the same body, glorified body that Christ has. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18. Absolutely true. But let the big mouth of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, he has a big mouth. And he'll be all over CNN and all over the internet, every social, all over. It'll be a happy time. Happy time. But the party isn't over. It'll be devastating, tragic. It'll make World War II look like a little birthday party. It'll be worldwide, global destruction. 2/3 of the human race dead. 7.4 billion people today, 2/3 of them gone if it happened today. That'll be how sad and bloody and terrible and dark and wicked and evil it will be. Are we surprised the evil heart of man? Put him in a little place, he does little damage. Put him in a big place, he does devastating damage. I don't care about this world system. And we are touching it, we are living in it. But it is what it is. Don't be jealous of the wicked. Don't follow them. Don't embrace their ideas. Don't follow their lies and their hypocrisies. And may we say that about the church too. Listen to this. The Spirit speaks clearly to Paul. He said, in the latter days, some will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And he's talking about the church. Yes, I have no respect for churches that compromise biblically. They have a long history, but I don't care. What are they preaching tonight? What are they saying today? If it is seducing spirit, doctrine of the devil, they are not thinking with Christ. And that seminary they went to, what good was it? I don't know. I don't blame the seminary, but I don't know what professors they listen to. I don't know what they're reading. I don't know how they're living. Give me the old-fashioned way, the old pathway. Walk therein. In Jeremiah 6:16, and you'll hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way. We don't care about the world system of religion. It is empty as an empty suit. It has nothing in it. It is worse. It is poison. It is destructive. It misleads people. It brings people to shipwrecked faith. And we have no interest in it. I want to be in a spirit-filled assembly like the Pastor Stevens taught us and lived and showed us in body life. And we're radical in the sense that we are believing what God is saying. We're very kind at our working place. We're very good people. We are good citizens. We pay our taxes usually. We show up, we serve the community, we're on the street reaching out to people we don't even know. We're out there in the middle of Baltimore. Look at my little bracelet, Be More. Look at that. Be More. Reminds me of Baltimore. I was born to be more. We want to make up a new one. It says, I was born again to be more in Be More. GGWO in Be More. That's what we're calling it. Be More, Baltimore. I love Baltimore. Because we got God's mind. God's mind is here. Wow. So, amen. Would you pray with me? That was the shortest, longest message that I've ever... That was the longest, shortest... my words. Okay, here we go. Prayer. Listen, tonight, say to Jesus, Jesus, You're coming back. I'm ready. I want to have my loins girt, the loins of my mind. I want to have your mind. I want to be prepared. I want Christ to set me on fire. I want to give all my heart to you in every area, not one area missing. And I want your spirit to just quicken me to these things. Cain, let him be. God said, let him be. His folly will be made known unto all men. Let him be. Let the lies go as they go. Let it be. But you follow me. And I will make you a fisher of men. Don't pay attention to all arguments and all things and all discussions. Some of it is foolishness, Paul said. Foolish things that people talk about. No, this is profitable. We are in a rap because we gain a little more. We talk and laugh and encourage and pray and love. Yes, thank you for our church tonight. For all the churches across the country, that you are anointing them with fresh oil. And ministering and save people. And turn our nation. They're building, like Cain built a city. He was a murderer. Just think of it. Building a city. Had the power to build a city. To be a governor, a ruler, a leader. Just think of it. That's okay. Let Herod be Herod. Roman Caesar be the Roman Caesar. They are doing God's bidding. Let them be. Let them go their way. We will all stand before God. And as for us and our household, we will wholly follow you and embrace you. Help us this year in the day school and in the public schools where our people go and colleges and in the homes and on the mission field and the pastors and their families. Bring healing and changes, and deep encouragement, and health. And many generations, the little ones will say, my daddy follows Jesus. The little ones saying, my mommy believes in Jesus. And I'm learning the stories about Greater Grace missionaries on the field, and I want to grow up and be a missionary one day. The Spirit can do that. We want to see this, Lord, the mind of Christ, guide us and lead us always. If you're here tonight, you don't have Jesus, this is your night to say to Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that prayer to him. He will hear you. And then would you raise your hand if you're saying the prayer? The ushers will give you a booklet for your new birth. You are born again, newborn, newly born. Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord. Anyone at all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our your Spirit to speak to us tonight. This is precious to us. In your name, amen.